Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Cam Knight's my guest today. Cam's going to be talking about improving mental performance, huh? Something you could use, something I could use. We're going to be right back with Cam right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Well, hey there. Love to hear from you. You can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. It's mathersrodney @yahoo.com. Let me know how you're doing.
Ain't got a plow no fields to write a country song. Yeah. Don't have to live in no sticks to like a country music mix. Ain't gotta live in no sticks to like country.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back. My guest today is Cam Knight. Cam has written, I think, something like 9 books, and he refers to himself as a mind expert, and he's going to be talking to us today, or I'm going to ask him today, about mental performance. Welcome, Cam. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm glad to be on the show.
Well, we're glad to have you. Can you start off just by telling us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a coach, writer, and author of several best-selling books in the area of mental performance, as you had mentioned, in the area of memory, concentration, and even internal resistance. And over the past 15 years, I've really dedicated my life to understanding the mind and how to optimize its performance. So I'm not one to tell people what they should or should not do or how they should or should not do it. I focus on the middle ground of how to get people to do what it is they want to do. You see, early on, I realized that wanting does not equate to having. Just because you want something doesn't mean you'll be able to take the necessary steps to be able to get it. And I wondered why that was. Why is it if I want something? I know what to do. I know how to do it. But for one reason or another, I can't get myself to do it. And that question has kind of been at the forefront of a lot of the stuff that I've been working around, as well as the books that I've written.
Okay, well, let's start off with this idea of internal resistance. What is that? It sounds like that's what you're talking about. What is that?
Yeah, so one of the things I realized in my own journey of growth and wanting to do more and have more and be more in my life was that things just weren't easy to do. Like, as I mentioned, if I wanted to do something, I wasn't able to do it. And over the years, I started to realize that our mind is actually designed to keep us forward. It's hard to believe, but our mind is designed to keep us from growing and making progress. You see, anytime a decision, action, or choice shows up, that decision is evaluated by the mind using a whole host of criteria. And if that decision or course of action is not in line with the criteria, then the mind will prevent action. There's nothing you can really do. It doesn't matter how much motivation you have or how simple the solution is or even how much you can, how much benefit you can derive. It helps to think about standing before a panel of judges or a board of directors. You know, anytime a decision comes up, that decision must go through them. And if even one of the members is against the idea, it won't pass. And like I said, I can pump you with all the solutions and motivation in the world, but none of that will matter.
You say that the mind is designed to keep us from growing and making progress. It seems like I would have guessed the opposite. Why is that? And I guess your whole point here is how to get past that, right?
Yes, yes. So inside of us, we have all sorts of mechanisms and processes. And for example, one of the more commonly known mechanisms is habit. So habits are designed to keep us in a routine or pattern of behavior. In their efforts, habits will do everything they can to make sure that we stick to that routine or pattern of behavior. If they didn't, they wouldn't be very good at what they did, not would they? Now, even if a behavior is painful and downright harmful to our health, habits will still keep us in it. That's what they're designed to do. So that means if we're trying to do something else, or if we're trying to do something that goes against our habits will stop us. So this is what I mean when I say our mind is designed to hold us back. In many respects, it is designed to help us to grow and move forward. But there are also mechanisms and processes, such as habit, that will prevent that forward movement.
Do you talk about ways to break those habits?
Yeah, yeah. So it's not just habit. It really helps to understand some of the other mechanisms that are designed to stop us.
Okay.
So if you want, I can talk about a few of those.
Well, let's just take habits. For example, what would be your advice on how to attack that? You know, say you do have a destructive habit, what would be, you know, how could you overcome that in your view?
Okay, so a lot of my work revolves around, so, you know, when I was reading a lot of personal development and in this path of growth and just kind of overcoming my own inner blocks, there's a lot of advice like you should do this and you should do that. And if you follow these steps, you'll get that result. And yeah, if you follow those steps, you're definitely going to get those results. But the challenge was being able to follow those steps. And what I realized is that, like I mentioned, our unconscious, for various reasons, is there stopping us anytime we try to take a step in a different direction. And so what we really need to do is align our unconscious with our conscious desires. And there's a few ways to do that. And if you like, I could talk about them.
Yeah, let's do that. Why don't you give us a couple?
Yeah, so one of them is to just be very clear on what it is that you want to do or the direction you want to go or the changes that you want to make. Oftentimes we think that just because we know what we want, that our unconscious will know as well, or it will automatically translate to it. But that's not really the case. If we want our unconscious to be aware of what it is that we want, we need to communicate that. And if we can just sit down and be very clear about the direction that we want to go, then that is going to communicate that to our unconscious, and it's going to help us make it a little bit easier to get in that direction. So clarity is really important. Another thing is self-talk. I don't know if you've heard much about self-talk, Rodney. Have you?
We've talked about self-talk a lot on this show. Give us your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so self-talk are more or less statements that you say or repeat to yourself of the changes that you want to have or have happen in your life. For example, if I'm a shy or insecure person and I want to become more confident and assertive, I would affirm statements like, I'm a strong, confident communicator. I communicate my needs and wants. Now, on the surface, repeating such statements may not seem like they will do all that much, but self-talk is really powerful. And it's because those words, when you repeat a set of statements, those words actually seep into our unconscious and rewire our mind to manifest the statement.
How do you, Cam, let me ask you real quick, how do you suggest that people do that? Is it something that they should, you know, pledge to do 12 times a day, or when they get up in the morning, or just randomly? When would you tell people to practice self-talk?
Well, with self-talk, you want to be very systematic. You don't want to do it randomly, and you don't want to be haphazard about it. You want to create what I recommend people do and what people have gotten a lot of big results from. It's create a set of statements that are 8 to 12 statements that describe the change that they want in a particular area or just overall in general.
Mm-hmm.
And repeat those statements 10 times each daily. Mm-hmm. So you can do that in the morning right before you wake up. A person can do that in the evening right before they're about to go to bed, or they could do it during the day, or they could do it, you know, multiple times. But at least repeat that set of statements once, and each statement repeat 10 times.
Good advice. I want to switch gears here real quick, Cam, and sure. ask you a little bit about something I saw on your blog, which is very good, by the way. I enjoyed reading through it. Men and women, you know that this audience is people that are reintegrating in society after incarceration, mostly. And people, you had a little article about trauma, and I wanted to talk to you about the effects of trauma. You know, some people experience trauma in prison. And so when they come out of, I mean, there might be people in prison that they're there because they haven't properly addressed trauma in their youth or whatever. But some people do experience it in prison. They come out of prison with all that that entails, along with addressing trauma from being in prison. Talk to us about how trauma affects your ability to perform at your ultimate mental optimum level. What does trauma do to people?
Yeah, trauma is huge. It has a huge influence on our ability. And so we can learn all the systems and solutions on what to do, and we can be motivated and, you know, surround ourselves with people who are growing and moving forward and have all of that, like, success mindset and growth mindset in us. But if we don't address our trauma, that trauma becomes this ball and chain that prevents progress. We might be able to move forward, but as soon as that chain tightens, that's the extent of how far we'll be able to get. And no matter how much we try, you know, our efforts are just going to be inches. And the more we try, the harder we'll snap back once, you know, we run out of energy and lost our drive. So we could have a lot of drive moving forward, but as soon as we stop for a second, we'll just snap right back because we didn't address the chain, the ball that we're chained to. And that ball is that trauma. And it really has a huge, huge effect and impact on our life.
And how would people go about if they know that there's a trauma that's affecting their decision making or their mental optimum level of performance, I guess is what I'm trying to find the words to say. Right. How would they go about addressing that? And how do you suggest that people address that?
Well, there's two ways. First and foremost, I would recommend people, especially your audience, is not to negate or undermine it, because that's one of the worst things we can do when we're dealing with trauma. Because when we have had something serious, we try to say, you know, there's a lot of talk about toughening up and being a man about it and all these other words that say that you need to overcome it. And so it's really important not to negate our own trauma, especially when we're comparing it with other people, because we'll meet somebody or hear of a story of somebody who went through more. And I want people to realize that trauma is relative. Just because somebody went through something more severe than you doesn't mean that their level of trauma was more serious. Like, you could still have the emotional impact of it be more. So step number one is to not negate it. Two is, it really depends on if you're kind of working with somebody else or you're doing it on your own. You know, a lot of my focus has been around self, you know, doing things, there's self techniques. So you don't necessarily have a coach or a therapist to go out and guide you. You're doing things on your own. And if somebody wanted to, you know, get started on their own, is to really go into that trauma, not to run away from it. And the best way would be to, like, start journaling about it. Go back to those moments in their life where they experience, you know, severe hardships and the emotional responses to them, and really write about them in detail. And another thing is to talk about it to another person. Because when it comes down to a trauma, the trauma is not the issue, it is the fact that we aren't expressing it. It's the fact that we're holding it in and not letting it out. And talking about it and journaling about it are two extremely effective ways that are very easy that people can get started with to help start releasing that.
Interesting. Do you find that people that are able to, you know, address it through journaling and discussing it with other people, that they are able to at least get a grip on it and begin to move past it? Do you find that to be the case?
Yeah, at the very least, even if they don't get a grip on it, it's a good starting point. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times people who tend to have trauma, they, like I said, one, they negate it, and one, they don't really realize the extent of the trauma that they have. Mm-hmm. Because they've just kind of pushed it down and suppressed it. And, you know, over time, we tend to block a lot of that out. And again, over time, we forget that how serious it was. And once we can kind of go back and start revisiting it and start bringing it up, then the wheels of change can start happening.
Right.
But we can do other things. But if we're not addressing the trauma, we can try to do other things. But like I said, you're going to put a lot of effort on it, and it's not going to give you the results you need. But once you start going towards the trauma, it allows you to make the changes that can have a bigger and more impact on your life, especially with less effort.
Okay. Let's pivot again. And I come across some things in your blog that are just really interesting to me. That I see you're big on goal setting. And I am too. I think it's a great thing. The issue I have with goal setting, which I do, by the way, and I know that my handful of listeners, that there are some of them that have played around with this too. But my issue is, and I'm wondering if you could address being like reasonable in your expectations when you're goal setting. How do you help people to not, you know, I'm not going to be the president of the United States, you know, that's a weird example, but how do you teach people to be reasonable and have the proper expectation level in their goal setting?
Yeah, there's two main ways I do that. One is to help them think about it as stepping stones. You know, I think it's possible for people to achieve things that are much bigger than themselves, but they need to achieve something that's much smaller first. And so it's really important that they set a goal that isn't going to overwhelm them. It might excite them, but it won't overwhelm them. And if they can get themselves to achieve it, then they get that emotional rush of like, yeah, I did it. You know, I can do this. And then they set something a little bit more out of reach, not too much, the next time. And then they need to show more or less their unconscious that they can achieve this and the effects of achieving it. And then the more they do that, then the more they can take the bigger steps. And I know it's very easy to kind of really get caught in the big goals because, you know, when we listen to personal development stuff or when, you know, coaches and development experts inspire us to do more, like we just get this big rush of feeling and we just want to make this big impact.
Mm-hmm.
And that in of itself like creates a massive resistance. But if we can take a step back and say, okay, yes, I can do this, but here are a couple of things I need to do first, then that's going to be much more helpful. So that's one of the ways. But a more important way is that I try to get them to understand that to have one thing means giving up something else. You know, to have fame means giving up to a certain degree your privacy. To make more money at your job may require giving up a bit of your free time because now you got to spend more time on working. And so it's really important anytime we do goal setting to understand what we're going to give up to be able to achieve it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't achieve a goal and still have everything else in your life. And that's unreasonable thinking. And if a person can realize that there's going to be something that they need to give up, whether it's a little bit some time in their day, less television, less time with their significant, something, it helps them to set more reasonable targets.
Kim, I've really enjoyed our talk today. I feel like we're just scratching the surface. Where can people find your books? You've got books on various levels of, or various areas of mental performance. Where do people find your books, and where can they read your blog, that sort of thing?
Okay, great. So they can find most of the majority of my material at mindlily.com. And I've got about 10 books up there. And I also put together an online course called Into Overcoming Your Internal Resistance. And I actually want to give your audience this. It's a $400 course, but I want to offer it to your audience for free. So if anybody's listening, they can email me at camknightlive@gmail.com, and I'll give them free access to the course.
And, good deal. Thank you. Yeah, great.
Yeah, no problem. And if they take the time to go through the course, then I will spend free with them, time to work out a set of self-talk statements that can hone in on what they want. And I'll do that for free as well, because I know people who are incarcerated, they could really use this information. So all they have to do is start off by going to camknightlive@gmail.com, then I'll get them access to that course.
Perfect. Listen, Cam, I want to thank you for being on the Journey of Hope today.
Thank you very much, Rodney.
No problem. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Remember, you can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com, mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Thank my special guest today, Cam Knight. I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.